The world is a frightening place. How are we to navigate the perils that lurk out there? How can a person spot dangers, hazards, threats? Well, the British Army has some advice for its soldiers concerning what they should take note of while they're on patrol in a hostile environment. The first thing the soldiers are told to look out for is the absence of normal, i.e. the sudden disappearance of children or women or traffic from the streets. The removal of sheep or goats from the rural landscape. Those things that should be there suddenly not being there. The second phenomenon they are warned to be vigilant about is what the army refers to as the presence of abnormal, meaning the abrupt appearance of things that shouldn't be there suddenly being there. Unfamiliar pickup trucks, hard-faced men in black robes showing up on street corners trying to look like itinerant balloon sellers. Or perhaps a husband and wife desperate for a meeting with an elusive man from the BBC.
Come in.
Hello.
Can I help you?
I'm Cherry Dawson. This is my husband, Tatum.
Hello.
We have a 2:30 meeting with Clive Hull, head of media facilitation.
Really? It's not in the diary.
We made the arrangement with Mr. Hull personally. We're here to talk about Boulder's bacon.
Are you sure?
Quite sure. I recorded it on my phone. Here, listen.
Oh, please, Jerry, for God's sake. I'm trying to donate for my wife's IVF. It's too late. Oh, this is never going to come out of suede.
I need you to commit to a meeting, Clive. This has been going on for months.
Oh, all right. I, Clive Hull, swear on my word of honour as head of BBC Media Facilitation that I will have a meeting with Cherry and Tatum at my office at 2:30 on the 23rd of September. OK? Now, can I have my magazine back, please?
I'll just let Mr. Hull know you're here. Mr. Hull, Cherry and Tatum are here for their 2:30 meeting.
Thanks, Helen. Good to know. Just give me 1 minute and then send them in.
Of course. Now, can I get you teas, coffees, mineral water, pastries, fruit, nibbles?
A tea would be very nice, thank you.
No problem. Tatum?
Coffee, please. Black. And nibbles?
Of course. Sweet or savoury nibbles?
Savoury nibbles, please.
Of course. If you'd like to go through to Mr. Hall's office, I'll bring them in a moment.
Thank you. Come on, Tatum. Let's get some answers. Afternoon, Clive. Clive?
He's not here, but... We heard his voice.
Look, the window's open. He must have jumped out.
Oh, he's escaped again.
There he is. Look, running across the car park.
Oh, damn it, we almost had him.
Clive Hull had a reputation for being difficult to pin down. Clive Hull had a reputation for prevarication. Clive Hull had a reputation for being unable to make a decision.
So, I rang Clive Hall's office and Helen said he wasn't available for a meeting for at least 2 weeks.
Oh, why am I not surprised?
He really is hopeless.
I know. Sometimes it feels like he's our only topic of conversation. But look, we've come for tea and cake with Mum, so please, let's forget about Clive Hull for an hour.
Understood.
Oh, hello, you two.
Hey, Mum.
Oh, mwah. How are you, Tatum?
Yeah, okay. Apart from bloody Clive Hull.
Tatum!
So, how have you two been keeping?
I've taken up kickboxing. It's amazing.
Oh, that sounds like serious exercise. You don't fancy kickboxing, Tatum?
No, I've been going for walks.
Oh, it'd be nice for you to do something together, though.
Yeah, we work together.
Oh, that's work, though.
We have our own interests. We're fine.
So who's this Clive Hull you keep talking about?
He's the head of media facilitation at the BBC.
He's had our scripts for over 9 months. We're still waiting for him to make a decision on whether or not the show can go ahead.
Thing is, it's not just us. About half the writers and producers we know are waiting on a decision from him.
So why won't he make a decision?
Because as long as he doesn't make a decision on anything, he can't be wrong. He can't be accused of making mistakes if he doesn't make anything at all.
Yeah, the other neat touch is he can't stand the idea of upsetting anyone, so he's hyper-resistant to telling them he doesn't want to make their shows.
But the thing is, everyone hates his bloody guts anyway.
Well, because he won't make a decision.
Exactly.
But he doesn't know that everyone already hates his guts, because everyone's always nice to his face, because they think he might greenlight the show. In the meantime, he's living the life of Riley, being driven around in a limo.
Clayton?
Yes, Mr. Holt?
Once you drop me at the television centre, I won't need you again until four.
Very good, Mr. Holt.
By the way, did you have a chance to read that script I gave you?
Yes, I read it last night.
You liked it? Didn't like it? Not diverse enough? Too diverse?
I liked it, Mr. Holt.
Really? Right. Wow. Great. Okay. Great. I might talk to them about commissioning another script. Thank you, Clayton. Oh, dear, what does a security chap want? Hi.
Afternoon. We're at Security State Tangerine, so before I let you through to the car park, I need to check inside the car and any bags therein. Now, may I see inside your briefcase, Mr. Hall?
Fine, yeah.
What's this, Mr. Hall?
It's just an ant farm.
An ant farm? And two jars of honey.
Goodness, I've just remembered. I've got a meeting with some people from the circus.
The circus?
Yes, I'll take that, thank you. Right, Clayton, take me around the back of the TV centre.
Whereabouts, Mr. Holt?
Along the service road by the car park. There's that chain-link fence. There's a bit where it's sagged and looks easy to climb over.
Tatum was suffering from high stress levels due to his dealings with Clive Hole. He blamed this stress for the relapse in his behaviour. Tatum had approached the male prostitute at a bus stop. Then they had walked together to the nearby graveyard.
So, how old are you?
21. How about you?
Older. A lot older. Old enough to know better.
He should be okay. No one can see us from the road. So, what do you want me to do?
I want to pitch something to you.
Eh?
I'm going to pitch you my TV series, and I want you to tell me what you think.
Why?
Well, Clive Hole has had the scripts for over 9 months, but he refuses to make a decision. I bumped into him in the street last week. He pretended to be a Portuguese tourist. I've lost all sight of whether it's any good or not. I just need someone else's perspective.
Oh, sure.
So, it's called Bold as Bacon. It's about this father and son team who go around the markets of Lancashire selling bacon from a store. But they don't just sell bacon. They solve crimes as well. Plus, it's set in the 70s, so you get all this great glam music for the soundtrack. It's 6 1-hours aimed at a Sunday evening slot. What do you think?
Eh?
What do you think of the pitch?
No idea, mate. Shall I unzip your trousers?
Yeah, go on.
Hello, Clive Hall's office.
Oh, hello. My name's Carol Hood. I'm the writer-producer for Airport Padre. I wanted to check if Clive had watched the pilot episode yet. I've sent him the link 7 times.
I'm afraid that's something only Mr. Hall could tell you. He's out at the moment, but I'll make sure he knows you've called.
Oh, if you could, thanks.
Bye. Another one for the list. Oh, Clive. Mr. Hall! What are you doing outside the window?
Very good. Thanks, Helen.
But we're 2 floors up. What if you fell?
Don't worry. Climbing up is a lot easier than climbing down.
Are you sure you're all right?
Yep, all fine. I'm going to go through to my office and watch some pilots. Make a few decisions. So I want you to hold all my calls for 90 minutes. No, make it 100 minutes.
Once he'd closed his office door, Clive opened the suitcase and removed a glass jar labelled Rainbow Valley Ant Farm and the 2 jars of honey. He quickly broke open the ant farm, took some squeezers, then diligently placed ant after ant into his keyboard and in the back of his computer. He then poured 2 jars worth of honey into the computer.
Helen?
Yes, Clive?
I need you to order me a new computer. My current one has a problem.
Oh, maybe tech support can come and sort it out for you.
I doubt it. You see, it's full of ants.
Ants?
Yes. I remember you saying that your son had an ant farm. I wondered if maybe you'd accidentally brought some of his ants into the office.
I doubt it. Anyway, a few ants shouldn't stop you using the computer.
It's a whole farm's worth of ants, Helen. Plus, there's a lot of honey in there, too.
Honey? But ants don't make honey.
That's what we've always believed, but, well, maybe these ants know better.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure that's...
Anyway, it means I can't make decisions on these pilots. It's a bloody nuisance, frankly. Still, can't be helped.
In the bank seating of the sports centre, five-a-side football pitch, Cherry and Tatum were sitting, watching 10 middle-aged TV executives huffing and puffing.
Look at them. The heads of every major TV channel and production house in the country. What do they think they look like?
They think they look quite... well, all right. Not great, like, when they were young, but okay. They think, well, at least we keep fit. They think, as long as we play football, we won't die. They're not playing each other. They're really playing against death.
There's Clive Hall. Look, look.
Remember when our lives were about other things? When we didn't spend every moment of our time waiting for Clive bloody Hole to say yes or no.
What if he does say no, Cherry? What do we do then? Do we carry on writing together?
We'll decide that when we hear what Clive Hole has to say. You got your football kit on under that coat. There'll be an injury in the next 5 minutes, I guarantee it.
Oh, man down!
It's Paul Feinberg, head of programming at Sky Arts and Crafts.
Right, it's my time to shine.
Go for it.
Tatum ran onto the pitch. He took up the defensive position of the injured player. And after a while, Clive got the ball.
Clive, I've really got to talk to you about Boulder's Bacon.
Listen, Tatum, we should really have this conversation in the office.
Yeah, we came to see you at the office. You jumped out the window. Look, I want you to make a decision on Boulder's Bacon right here, right now.
What? I'm sorry, I have to chase the ball now.
Clive! Clive! Watch where you're going! Clive?
What happened?
He's out cold. He ran right into the goalpost.
Clive Hole had hoped that his injury would keep him in the hospital for several weeks, thus relieving him of the pressure to make any decisions. Unfortunately, he was out within 24 hours, and so, once back at work, Clive elected to give some visiting tourists a tour of the BBC building.
And through that door, ladies and gentlemen, is one of our new advanced editing suites. Would you like to see inside?
No, Mr. Hall. You have given us too much of your time already. To meet the head of media facilitation is thrill enough. At Disneyland, you do not expect to be shown around by Walt Disney Jr. himself. Certainly not for 3 hours.
Oh, not at all. It's important to keep the license payers happy.
But we're all foreign tourists, so we don't pay the license.
Ah, Clive.
Oh, hello, Sir Marcus. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce Sir Marcus Wilby, head of in-house finances.
Yes. If I could just have a quick word. I'm sure the ladies and gentlemen will excuse us.
Go. Yeah, of course.
I was at a Board of Governors meeting last week, and one of the first items on the agenda was your spending.
Yes, well...
And everybody agreed what a terrific job you're doing.
Oh.
You seem to have got the spending on programmes right down.
Well, we certainly aren't spending as much as we used to on shows, though there may be a slight shortfall in actual programmes in a few months' time. But...
Oh, that doesn't matter. Somehow something always gets put on, doesn't it? This expenditure cut, though. Excellent work. Well done. Keep it up.
I'll do my best, Sir Marcus.
Tatum.
You all right, Cherry? You look as white as a sheet.
It's bad news, I'm afraid.
Oh, God. What is it?
Your sister Audrey phoned. Your dad's had a serious stroke. He's in hospital in Ipswich.
Oh, thank Christ for that. I thought Clive Hole had phoned to say he wasn't going to make our...
Tatum!
Oh, look what he's done to me. I'm pleased my dad's had a stroke.
I think it's important you drive up there tonight.
Yes, of course, yeah. Are you coming?
No. I've got kickboxing.
Right.
Tatum took his Mini and drove through the night to Ipswich. He parked in the car park and went through the revolving door. At least all this stuff with Dad has stopped me thinking about Clive Hole, thought Tatum. Then he realised in thinking that, he'd once again thought about Clive Hole.
Hi.
Hey, Audrey. How's Dad?
He's very weak.
Right.
Apparently the next 24 hours are crucial. They've got a nurse with him at all times, and you wouldn't believe how many machines they've got him hooked up to.
Can I go through and see him?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Hello.
I'm Tatum. I'm his son. Is it okay to talk to him?
Yeah, of course. Just don't tire him out.
Oh, thanks. Dad, it's me.
Tatum?
Emergency. Emergency.
What's happening?
Emergency.
Have you got a mobile switched on?
Just three?
Turn them off!
But Clive Hall might call.
I don't care whose Hall might call. Unless you want to kill your dad, switch him off.
Okay, would airplane mode be
switch
okay?
Switch them off. Didn't you see all the signs?
Yeah, I didn't think they applied to me.
Why?
I'm in television.
You can talk to him for just a minute, then he needs to rest.
Dad, it's Tatum.
Son, you okay?
Well, I'm waiting on a green light from Clive.
Son,
I'm fine.
There's something I have to tell you. It's about who your real father is. You know what a big fan of Ken Dodd your mum was? Well, when he played the Ipswich Gaumont in 1972, your mum went backstage to see him and... Well, you can guess the rest.
What? Oh, sorry, Dad, I tuned out a bit there. Listen, I just need to give Cherry a quick call. Back in a sec. Come on.
Is everything okay with your dad?
He's fine. Well, he's not fine, but, fine. I wanted to check if Clive Hall had phoned.
It's 5 in the morning.
So he hasn't phoned?
No. Go and spend time with your dad.
Okay. Bye.
He's gone.
Dad?
Yes, Dad!
Meanwhile, Clive Hull had taken delivery of his new computer frustratingly quickly. Consequently, he'd actually viewed an actual pilot and decided he was going to take the plunge and actually greenlight a series.
Helen, can you put me through to Monty Fife's agent, please?
Of course. One moment.
Hello, United Amalgamated Artists.
Jane, it's Clive Hull. How are you?
Clive? Well, I'm fine, thank you. You?
Oh, yes, all good. Listen, I have some good news for Monty. I'm finally going to greenlight Mudlark Springs. Tell him we want 8 episodes.
Monty's dead.
Dead? When?
About 18 months ago now.
Oh, I see. What about the otters? I presume they're still available.
They became extinct last year.
Oh, I see.
Clive decided he needed to get out of his office. He found himself in a basement corridor, dimly remembered from when he was a producer. He came to a door marked Makeup Room B.
Come in.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Mr. Hall. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm doing a sketch for Comic Relief as a ginger-haired man, and I need fixing up with a ginger wig and ginger beard, so I can play a ginger-haired man in a sketch.
Oh, I thought Comic Relief was last year. Isn't it Children in Need?
Oh, yes, Children in Need. That's what I meant. I'm doing a ginger-haired sketch for Children in Need.
Okay. Just give me a moment. I'll send Eugenie to the wig store. Take a seat. Do you want a coffee?
Oh, thanks. That'd be lovely.
A little while later, the happy figure of Clive Hull, disguised as a ginger-haired man, walked out of the front entrance of the BBC. Tatum, who was watching everybody leave through infrared binoculars, didn't spot him. Out and about without Clayton, Ginger Clive found himself by a tube station. He seemed to remember it contained a form of transport he had used long ago, before the BBC started chauffeuring him around. And so he spent the afternoon on various tube trains, switching from one line to another, not really going anywhere. At Baker Street, he ventured above ground and caught a bus. Clive got off the bus on the edge of Soho and found himself standing outside an acupuncturist.
So you say you're suffering from stress?
Yes. That and indecisiveness.
Well, acupuncture can definitely help bring down your stress levels. So I am going to start...
Before you start, I wondered if you'd read this script and tell me what you think.
Oh, this isn't really my area.
I'll pay you for your time.
Well, okay, I suppose.
I'll just wait.
And so, whilst Clive Hull was pitching Boulder's bacon to an acupuncturist and Tatum was pointlessly waiting outside the BBC, his wife, Cherry, was finishing her kickboxing class.
OK, let's leave it there for now. Good lesson, Cherry. You're really coming on.
Thanks. I enjoyed that.
I sense you were getting rid of frustrations.
Yeah, you know, when I first started kickboxing, I thought it'd completely exhaust me, but... I found the opposite.
It gives you more energy.
Definitely. Lots of excess energy.
That's the thing with contact sports.
Yeah, especially one-to-one contact.
What are you doing after the gym?
Having sex in your car?
Smashing. I'm just going to hit the shower.
What do you think?
Boulder's bacon? Well, I thought it was too plotty in the first episode. The characters need more development. The lead feels a little one-dimensional at the moment, but the dialogue is engaging and punchy. I'd say it's got a lot of potential.
Really?
Definitely. I can see it working well in a Sunday mid-evening slot.
So, if it were up to you, you'd make it?
I don't see why not.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
OK. Shall we start the treatment now?
Oh, God, no. I'm terrified of needles.
Finding himself back on the tube train, Clive reflected on what the acupuncturist had said. It was time to take the plunge. Clive was going to actually greenlight Boulder's bacon.
Jerry, it's Clive Hull. Hi, yes. How are you? Great. Well, I've got some good news. I'm giving Boulder's bacon a green light. Yes, 6 50-minute episodes. I'm thinking mid-evening slot on Sunday. There's just a few notes. I thought it was too plotty in the first episode, and the characters need development. The lead feels a little one-dimensional, but the dialogue, engaging and punchy, Cherry, engaging and punchy. So I'll get Helen to set up a lunch, and we'll take it from there. All right? Give my best to Tatum. Not at all. Sorry, it took so long. Bye.
The next station is Victoria.
Oh, goodness, I did it.
As he zipped backwards and forwards past Victoria on the Victoria Line and from south to north and then north to south on the Northern Line and nowhere much on the Jubilee Line, Clive experienced a surge of endorphins. Greenlighting a new series felt good. It felt great. He wanted to do it again. He wanted to do it again right now.
Sarah, it's Clive Hull. Yes, it has been a while. Good news, Sarah. I'm greenlighting 4 episodes of Dim Light Small City. Yes, I'll get Helen to set up a lunch. Not a problem. Sorry it took so long. Bye. This is marvellous. Hello, Malcolm. It's Clive Hull. It has, hasn't it? Anyway, I've got some good news. I'm greenlighting Scorched and Unavailable. Yes, I'll get Helen to set up a lunch. My pleasure. Sorry it took so long. Bye. Wow!
Clive was feeling pretty thrilled with himself. He would have gone on commissioning television series all afternoon had he not suddenly wondered how he was getting such a strong mobile signal so deep underground. Clive stared at the smartphone in his hand. He saw now that it was his glasses case. He had a faint memory of throwing his real mobile underneath a tube train in Holborn.
Oh, dear. Oh, God.
I've never made love in a car before.
Me neither. Sorry about the horn going off.
Comes with the territory. God, it's so good to just switch off my mind.
Oh, is that what you were doing?
Sorry, I didn't mean that. It's just that Clive Hull is all Tatum ever talks about. It's like he's the only thing we have in common anymore. It's so refreshing being with you.
Oh, good. Because I enjoy refreshing you.
Mm. Clive Hall was standing on the platform at Tottenham Court Road station, considering the pros and cons of throwing himself onto the rails. Then, suddenly, there at the end of the platform, he saw it. A green light. A real green light.
Finally, a sign. This is it.
As the tube train thundered towards him, Clive made the decision and threw himself onto the rails.
On the other hand...
No!
On a cold autumn day in Ipswich, Tatum stood with his sister Audrey at his father's graveside and wondered why he couldn't cry.
I can't believe Dad's gone.
I know. Do you know, I still haven't cried. I don't know why.
In asking. He's Cherry Lock. Better late than never, I suppose.
Cherry, where have you been? Dad didn't think you were coming.
Sorry, we got delayed.
We?
This is Gareth, my kickboxing trainer.
Hello, mate.
Oh, hello. Welcome to my dad's funeral.
Yeah, very sad and all that.
Listen, Tatum, this might not be the best time to tell you, but you heard about Clive Hull.
Yeah, of course. Chopped into three on the Northern Line. Tragic.
While the BBC decide what's going to happen next, I've just been appointed acting head of media facilitation.
Really? Wow. So surely that means...
I've made a decision on Boulder's Bacon.
Oh, fabulous.
I'm cancelling it.
What?
Well, it's a bit dated, don't you think? And anyway, I can't be seen to be helping a relative. Listen, we have to go. Speak soon.
Bye, mate.
Bye.
As Tatum watched Cherry and Gareth walk across the graveyard, he suspected that his marriage might be over. But he knew for a fact that Boulder's Bacon was over. So then, finally, he cried. Clive Hull starred Catherine Drysdale, Graham Duff, Georgie Glenn, George Fouracres, Tim McInerney, Alice McMillan and Duncan Wisby. It was written and narrated by Alexis Sale and adapted for radio by Graham Duff. The producer was Joe Nunnery. It was a BBC Studios production.